Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, indeed, we're back again. Back again for another episode of another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Emya of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful, yes, indeed, for, yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, for the opportunity, be back with you here again to speak these very precious words which the Most High has granted me. Yes, indeed, for the blessing. Yes, indeed, the blessing and awakening of his people. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me that I have for him some very important things for him to do. He told me because of what I must do, he said to me that I will surely indeed accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But in doing for him what he's asked of me, he said to me that I would have his protection. He said I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I can only be utmost thankful. The Most High told me, yes, indeed, he's told me, and I must tell you things, yes, indeed, that I must tell you things, that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to revert, to silence, and yes, if they could, my brothers and sisters, to destroy. And I thank the Most High, brothers and sisters, according to his promise. And he said, for all that the world has forgotten, the world shall surely be compelled to remember. For the Most High said the Messiah will come. Yes, indeed, he will come. For the remembrance, the restitution, the restoration of all things, according to all that the Most High has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since this world, yes, indeed, since this world began. Well, my brothers and sisters, I welcome you to the show, and I truly thank the Most High for every ear, yes, for every ear that he brings near. I want to talk tonight about something that many of you might find of particular interest. I know that with all the propaganda that is soon to hit the movie screens, a movie called, well, there was one before it, 300, so you might know exactly what I'm talking about. Another one that's coming up soon called 300, Rise of an Empire. First one was about Sparta. Sparta, as they said in the movie, resisting Eastern power. Well, there's a lot of things, my brothers and sisters, need to be understood about all these. A lot of propaganda that's going on that glorifies Western rise to dominance in the world. For those of you who listen to this show on a regular basis, you know that I speak on this show oftentimes about the truth. Yes, my brothers and sisters, about the truth that Western society is indeed, to this day, yet to fully embrace. My brothers and sisters, I've talked to people both in the East and the West, and they know, many I've spoken to have come to know, who already know what the prophecies actually say about the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, that since he must come to reprove, he is the one unto whom the gathering of the people shall be, that they see beyond all the illusions of this earth. I've talked to people both in the East and the West, and they know that very often men have chosen to ignore what this one has to say, or what the prophecies have to say concerning him, simply because the one that is prophesied to deliver mankind, to restore mankind unto the will of one, is prophesied, my brothers and sisters, to have to reprove all the kings, all the priests, all the rulers, various rulers of all the earth, political, social, pseudo-religious, leadership across the globe. He has to reprove them all in order to establish what is truly the gospel, what is truly the reigning rule of the kingdom of the Most High on this earth. All the prophecies say again and again, I talk about this many times, Isaiah 41:21 through 42:4 is one particularly glowing example, Isaiah 59, Psalms 14, Psalm 53. All these prophecies over and over again speak about a great truth. Yes, indeed, they speak about a great truth. The rulers would not speak simply because Messiah in his appearing must reprove them all. One of the biggest secrets in the Bible, seemingly. Everybody expects the Messiah to come to sanction all their multitudes of differences. 45,000 different denominations, all saying something different about the Most High. Had to be a misrepresentation. Had to be a lie. A massive lie is intermingled in the midst. But men have actually believed that somehow by the grace of Yah, whatever they imagine concerning the Most High, whatever they imagine concerning the Savior, they feel that somehow it's acceptable to him because they called upon his name according to the imaginings of their own heart brothers and sisters, in the book of Joel 2:32, it says, all who call upon the name of the Most High shall be delivered. But it says in Jerusalem, let's just put it this way, to that place unto which shall be the deliverance. In Jerusalem shall be deliverance to the remnant whom the Most High has called. I will say to you then, my brothers and sisters, that the deliverance is unto them whom the Most High has called and those who respond to him wisely. For faith, beyond all the debates and doubts of this world, comes by hearing. Yes, indeed, by hearing. A word from Yah himself. The book of Yaakov, they call James. He's asked the question why they got to call him James, but his name was Yaakov. Suppose Mr. King James would have to answer to that, won't he? The scripture says, if you're scattered among the nations, lacking wisdom. I said, if you're scattered among the nations, lacking wisdom, you should ask Yah. Didn't say man. Said you should ask Yah concerning these things. But the man left double-minded is unstable in all his ways. The scripture said, let not that man think he receive anything from the Most High. Meaning that man must discern what the acceptable will of Yah is. He must know what Messiah has said. When he said, your righteousness must exceed that of all your rulers, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. When he comes to declare the absolution that is the righteousness that is from on high, he said, unless you believe that he is the one who comes to reveal that word. Yes, my brothers and sisters, that word from on high, that pure, perfect word from on high, untainted. So unless you believe that he is the one who comes to bring that word. He said men would die in their sins. How about under mass illusions, brothers and sisters? How about under misallegiances, trusting the systems that hide the truth have been liberation. But action of brothers in so many ways, because they hide the light, keep men in the darkness, they are the instruments of darkness. A multitude of some different multitude of what? 45,000 denominations, 280 nations in the world? Cannot be the bearers of the light of brothers and sisters. Scripture says, as long as there's strife and divisions among us, the men function after their carnality. Meaning they function after the blindness of a carnal eye and ear. The scriptures have already told us that carnal eyes and ears cannot discern the glory of that which Yah has planned for those who love him. Please understand, my brothers and sisters, there's a need to see beyond the hype. There's a need to see beyond the illusion. I'm going to get straight off into the message for tonight, because it's a little late. I realize it's a little late for a lot of people. Well, I'm just going to get to the point. I want to speak about these things swiftly. Prayerfully, many will catch on to what Daniel is talking about relative to the prophets who were before him. I said, we'll understand what Daniel was really talking about relative to the prophets who were before him. There were prophets, particularly the prophets Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah. Before came the prophet Daniel, before Israel went into Babylonian captivity. Over and over again in the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah, the champion the Most High speaks of as his chosen one, his anointed one, his shepherd, that would destroy the Babylon, that Israel was cast into. Over and over again, my brothers and sisters, the champion that the Most High speaks of is one called in Isaiah 41, one called the King of the East. Isaiah 24 calls him the Righteous One. Isaiah 26, some texts call him the Upright One. Over and over again, my brothers and sisters, the scripture speaks of this one, that the Most High has appointed to deliver his people out of Babylon. And for those who truly know those prophecies and know them very well, they not only prophesy of him delivering Israel out of Babylon. I'm talking about also in the 44th chapter of Isaiah to the 46th. Reading those scriptures very closely, it relates, the prophecies don't just relate this one delivering Israel out of Babylon once, but delivering Israel out of Babylon, literally, physically delivering Israel out of Babylon two times. Raising their conscience also, my brothers and sisters. You find many scriptures talking about raising the conscience of people beyond the wicked rulers. Yes, even the wicked rulers who sought to cut him off. In Isaiah 53. Isaiah 11 says he comes a second time to gather his people out of the territories that were ancient near the Medo-Persian Empire. And finally, my brothers and sisters, again, the scriptures repeat what's in Genesis 49:10, when it says, this one called Shiloh out of the house of Judah. David's seed, if you will. Scripture says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Isaiah 11 says, he comes a second time to gather the children of Israel out of this Babylon. One scripture speaks about it in the Babylon East, per se. If you read the scriptures closely, all the prophecies closely, because Babylon was to the east of Jerusalem. But in the latter days, it talks also about a Babylon West. You need to check it out and compare when it says in Isaiah 45:6, it talks about they shall know from the rising sun to the west that there's none else but Yah, nor the mighty one but Yah. And my brothers and sisters, even if you understand the, let's just say the nature of what those prophecies are saying, it's saying that there's no mighty one that has a word or a thought or a device or a plan that can destabilize him from the fullness of the strength of his word. He will perform all that he has promised, all that he has purposed. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, in Isaiah 44 through 45, in Isaiah 48, it says the same one that he calls his champion will perform all that is his pleasure, will perform all that is divine purpose. And for that reason, he is called his chosen ally, even his righteous one. Many times he's called the righteous one like the rising sun that casts out all the darkness, that reveals the light that the world would obscure. But how many of my brothers and sisters have truly understood these prophecies? And how many have understood, my brothers and sisters, what is the adversary, the physical on-earth adversary that this one who is called the Messiah, who is the, what is the adversary that challenges him? What is the adversary that challenges the nature of his gospel, the truth of his word? Well, I'd like to address some of that tonight. I said I'd like to address some of that tonight because with the fanfare that comes with this sequel to this already one-time broadcast movie, 300, concerning the Spartans and the rise of the Greco-Roman Empire, all that Western imperialism has adored. Some have called it the triumph of the West. Some have even called Christianity the triumph of the West. My brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that what today this world calls Christianity is by no means, I say what today this world calls Christianity is by no means true to the anticipation of the early church. I repeat, what today this world calls Christianity is by no means true what was common in the early church. In fact, they would not have called themselves Christians at all. word Christian, word Christ, both have polytheist rather than monotheist origin. The early church believed in the absolution of one who would come to approve all the rulers. That all may know from the rising sun to the west there's only one Most High. Even that all our brothers and sisters would see beyond all the illusions of all the nations. That all would see beyond all the illusions of all the nations. And that all my brothers and sisters would come to the will of one. The scripture says again concerning him in Isaiah 11. And it's ultimately a latter-day prophecy. And it's ultimately a latter-day prophecy. 2 Thessalonians speaks of it as well as a latter-day prophecy. I pray that you will understand. Thank you. I pray that you will understand. Because Isaiah 11 is prophesied in 2 Thessalonians as an expectation of the early church concerning the gathering the people unto the kingdom of the Most High that should be established upon this earth. But 2 Thessalonians also talks about a great intrusion. Great intrusion of mass solution from the principalities and powers. The governing power in the world at the time that those words in 2 Thessalonians was written was indeed Rome. The scripture says also that the principalities and powers would invade the churches, bringing in all kind of mass corruption, that men see, judging after what their eyes see, begin to accept what these powers of perdition bring amidst the churches, the temple. To such an extent that they no longer recognize, the people no longer recognize their iniquities. That, my brothers and sisters, is a very powerful statement. Because it simply means the same thing we find in Revelation 13. The system of which we speak has often been a counterfeit concept of the faith. That I say again is by no means true to the ancient expectation of the early church. As I said before, the early church looks forward to one who will reprove all the rulers. The apostle Shaul even went as far as to say, I know nothing of which I am guilty, but I might not be right in this for my judge. He says, openly saying as the Messiah, comes to reveal the hidden things that men have not considered. And say, then shall men know how to praise Yah. Because as long as men are subject to any institution that perverts the truth in any way, men are in bondage to that institution, no matter what they call it, or what that institution claims to be. There's a reason why Shaul said, if any man considers himself wise in this world, and believe me, this world seeks to maintain a multitude of its illusions as if they were wise. According to the prophecies, the pretense that the world has endorsed, Messiah himself must come to fully expose it. Well, to understand the nature of these prophecies, and you know the 2 Thessalonians spoke in this wise. He said you have to consider the same thing Messiah said consider in Matthew 24. Consider what was said here before time by the prophet Daniel. Well, we need to look at prophet Daniel. to get a better view of what, in each case, Messiah was speaking about. Because even the Apostle Shaul spoke by the spirit of the Messiah that was in him, even as all the other prophets did. We find that in 1 Peter 1:10-11. We must discern that the word of God is line upon line, precept upon precept. Let's add it all together, my brothers and sisters, and see what the scriptures have to say. Because scriptures tell us the Messiah's appearance, because most have not understood these things. Who among men should be able to understand his report? Well, I'd like to look at Daniel speaking while he was actually in Babylon. During the captivity, Most High showed him a vision. We need to investigate that vision much more closely. I'd like to just simply start on Daniel 8:1, and it says, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me. Belshazzar was a king in Babylon. A vision appeared to me, unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared to me at the first. All my brothers and sisters, earlier, the scriptures talk about one unto whom all the kingdoms of the earth should be given. Ultimately, in the latter days, but we need to speak first about what is spoken of in these present times before this comes to pass. 8:2, and I say, I saw in a vision. Go back and check on Daniel 7, and what it talks about the coming of the Son of Man. But before this time, in this present age, it speaks of these words. In 8:2, it says, I saw in a vision, and it came to pass, when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Then I lift up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. I'm going to jump the gate a little bit. Tell you who the ram with two horns were. The ram with the two horns, the scripture will show us soon, is Medo-Persia. The empire of the Medes and the Persians that the Most High had raised up with the express purpose to deliver Israel out from Babylon. Jeremiah, however, I'm going to tell you, this might sound like a bigger shocker for some, but Jeremiah, in the 50th and 51st chapters, actually talks about one called the King of the Medes, which actually I'm going to tell you now, is Messiah Yeshua himself. Some of you might even be shocked to find out that word for King of the Medes in Jeremiah was Mardi, and I'm not talking about Islam. But he talks about the one who will destroy Babylon once and for all. Some of the same ideas that are related in Isaiah concerning this one called the King of the East, the Righteous One from the East. Sound a little fantastic, but I can only tell you, you don't know what I'm talking about? There is prophecy that you will find much of on a website of mine called hiddengospel.com. An article called Early Church Origin. And a Mutual Expectation. Hiddengospel.com. Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation, which explains much of that which of which we speak now, for those who are compelled by the Spirit to seek, much more information. I can only tell you, the only with your great love of the truth, when these things come together in your mind, to understand how great are the implications towards setting the minds of the people of the Most High truly free. So I lifted my eyes, 8 and 3, Daniel. Behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher came up last. Well, the Medo-Persian Empire was founded at the behest of the Most High and the power of the Most High the power of the Most High at the hands of one who your King James Version in history wants to call Cyrus the Great. But I can only tell you his kingdom was called Kurdistan for a reason. All this you'll find on my website. And his empire, like I said, was the Medes and the Persians. He was king of Persia. And there was also one who came with him as part of that empire. It's called Darius. Some of you might know who have seen the 300 movies, know about Xerxes and Artaxerxes, who were actually the sons of Darius, who took over the empire, Cyrus's empire, they called it. They called him Cyrus. The Kurdish Empire after his reign. Well, there's much to be understood about how people of the East are being portrayed. But let's look at what the Most High has to say about a lot of this. The higher the two horns would have been then, the one called the Kurdish, they would have called Cyrus the Great. Lesser horn would have been called Darius. And I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward so that no beast might stand before him. And indeed, without question, my brothers and sisters, Most High spoke of this one called Cyrus, whom his spirit raised up. But even he should go forth according to 2 Chronicles and Ezra, saying, all the kingdoms of the earth has the Most High given me. And for this very reason he gave him all the kingdoms of the earth. All the kingdoms of the earth in one of what was many considered the largest empire that's ever been built. Well, scripture talks about him having great power. A notable king of kings, even called king of kings, Shashan Shahe, for that very self-same reason. And he was given that power that he might have dominion of all the lands where Israel had been scattered, that they might be sent back home. This is what he did before. Well, the scriptures only say this time, I'll tell you now in Isaiah 45 and 6. And not only will he do what he did before, throughout all the territories in the east where Israel has been scattered, the prophecies say that finally the west will also submit to what the east knew. That this one, by the power of Yah, has the power to overrule and overcome all the nations to establish the kingdom of Yah upon this earth. To silence all those, my brothers and sisters, who have misadministered. Misadministered, my brothers and sisters, this earth, which belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof. So this one with the two horns, it went northward and southward, no beast, no nations. Word for beast Goyim, Gentiles, might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. That was the Medo-Persian Empire. And he said, as I was considering, behold, an he-goat. Who was the he-goat? I tell you now, the scriptures tell us soon that that he-goat was Greece and later Rome. He said, behold, an he-goat came from the west. I said, from the west. On the face of the whole earth. And touched not the ground. In other words, he moved so swiftly, it was like he, moved. I know what it is, because some of you might know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you're running really, really fast. It almost seems like your feet are hard to touch the ground. You're just like, you're just gliding. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. The ruler who brought Greece to particular dominance was Alexander. Now, it appears to me, if you sit back and you think about it, since they first in these 300 movies started talking about Sparta, later they're talking about another battle in this one. Seems like they finally want to push it on through until they talk about Alexander. I guess they're talking, going finally start talking about people like Alex, like Julius Caesar, maybe even Constantine if they were giving the way. However, let's look at this, my brothers and sisters. He said, and this he-goat came to the ram that had two horns. Let's just say the Medo-Persian Empire, Greece, came to the ram, which had two horns, Medo-Persian, which I'd seen standing before the river, and ran into him with the fury of his power. And I saw him come close into the ram, and he was moved, King James says, with choler. He was enraged against Medo-Persian. Remember, this is the empire the Most High raised up to deliver his people Israel. And he smote the he-goat, Greece, smote the ram, Medo-Persian, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram, Medo-Persian. Medo-Persian Empire lasted roughly around close to 400 years until Greece overtook it. And there was no power in the ram, Medo-Persian, to stand before Greece. But he cast him down to the ground. Alexander cast Medo-Persian Empire down to the ground. That later had become, after coming through a succession of Darius the Mede. And he cast him to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram. How about the Eastern Empire was overtaken by the Western Empire of Greece? And therefore, the he-goat, Greece, waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. Alexander is related to this great horn. And it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Well, there were other rulers who came out under that took over Alexander's kingdom after Alexander died very young. The Seleucid kings, Cassander, Ptolemaic kings, all part of those that took over his empire, and they took over various sections of it. And had great power, but they ruled, my brothers and sisters, throughout the East. Even the territory, my brothers and sisters, is called Judea. And he waxed very great, and when he was strong, he came forth, with the great horn was broken, Alexander. And forward came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Each take over, like I said, various north, south, east, western parts of that Greco-Roman Empire. What became Greco-Roman Empire. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. The Ptolemaic kings took on, the Seleucid kings took over the territory that was called Judea. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven. How about the host of those who hold the secrets of heaven, even Israel, and cast down some of the hosts and the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the hosts to take away the daily sacrifice. And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away. The place of his sanctuary was cast down. I can only tell you that under the reign of Alexander till came the times of the Maccabean kings for a time. There was even a time, my brothers and sisters, when Israel was not even allowed to worship in her own temple, for the heathen of Greece had set up camp in the Jerusalem temple to perform all the raucousness of their heathen customs in the temple of the Most High Yah. Some of you might know about the book of Maccabees, how Israel fought back and for a time had a degree of autonomy in the temple. But my brothers and sisters, with the power, the great power of Greece and then Rome, it came a time when actually Greco-Roman power, Hellenist power, took over and had great influence over Israel. Because of this intrusion of Greco-Roman power, even those of Rome that came in and murdered all the priests of Israel, there surely came a time for the need for the coming of the Messiah, that the truth of the gospel might be restored. Well, my brothers and sisters, you need to understand, the truth of the gospel of the Holy Kingdom is not after any of the imaginations of the kingdoms of men. Daniel 8:11, yea, he magnified himself, the he-goat, even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down. And the host was given to him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. He cast down the truth to the ground. Did you see it as it says at Daniel 8:12? This ego, this false Western system, Gentile, beastly, brutish, refusing to understand the deep things of Yah, cast down even the truth to the ground. And it practiced then, however, my brothers and sisters, what must only be considered deceit and prospered. We also know that it was Rome that came in 70 AD that utterly destroyed Jerusalem temple. 8:13 said, then I heard one saint speaking, another saint said unto the other. I heard one saint speaking, another saint said to that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? In other words, how long should this all be? He said to me, 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Well, my brothers and sisters, 2,300 days. Sounds quite interesting. Yes, it does. 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. You'd examine what it was that Greece became a power and began to overthrow even those who dwelt at the temple in Judea. It was right about that time, my brothers and sisters, because it was the 3rd century B.C. Greco-Roman power did this. We are nearing very close to this time. It came to pass, that's significant, Daniel 8:15, and it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning. And then behold, there stood before me an appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice, an angel's voice, between the banks of Eli, the river, which called and said, Gabriel, one of the angels is Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. And so when he came near where I stood, when he came, I was afraid, and I fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Let's consider this. And now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. He said, behold, I'll make thee to know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time of the appointed at the end shall it be. Ultimately, we're talking about finally the overthrow of this system. Daniel 8, and talking about the end of that 2,300 years. And it says, oh yeah, by the way, a day is also related to it as a year. Daniel 8 and 20, and the ram, I told you before, was Medo-Persian. The ram which I saw having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the he-goat he talks about, is the king of Greece. And the great horn that is between them, between his eyes, is the first king, talking about Alexander. Now that being broken, Alexander died at a very young age, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. In other words, not having the extreme power that Alexander had himself as one dominant king. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have come to a transgressors come to an end, king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy. Look at this. He says, and by his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy, some texts say here, wonderfully. Really means that he will continue, this system will continue to function in a conspiracy, conspiring against the truth. They put down here in the King James Version, he shall destroy wonderfully. Well, I'll just look at what it says at the at Daniel 8:24 in the NSB. He shall destroy to an extraordinary degree and prosper and perform according to his will, and he'll destroy even mighty men and even the holy people. How about destroy? How about corrupt? How shall, about the word ruin, blemish, bring to depravity? Do you think everyone, my brothers and sisters, who understands, who would look at these prophecies, would understand that he's talking about he shall spoil, intrude his lies upon the holy people? If he sits in governorship over the churches, over the temple, and establishes men over the temple, willing to hypocrisize themselves, as the book of Revelation says, it talks about the harlot, woman clothed in purple and scarlet, who rode upon the back of the beast. Purple being kingship, royalty, scarlet, whoredom. Talk about a church that's willing to submit itself to the rule, state, even heathen state. My brothers and sisters, you got a church that's willing to exalt the authority of the principalities and powers of the rulership of this world. You can be assured it's not a church that can bring men out of the darkness or the illusion of this world at all. It's a false church and a false religion altogether. Revelation talks about the same thing, and he talks about this system. How about my brothers and sisters that will bring forth a false sense of what is the faith? Because the scripture talks about a system having horns like a lamb, speaking as a dragon, exercising all the power of those who murdered millions of saints in the first centuries. We're still talking about Greco-Roman power. Messiah said once they destroyed Jerusalem, and Rome did, he said there's going to be a time of great tribulation upon the saints. It lasted the deepest part of it, I would say, the first 3 centuries. Scripture says after that, what remains would be only a rise of false prophets, false testimony. Says Messiah will have to come in the last days to destroy this massive illusion. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, that what he's saying then is that what most people call the faith today has been entirely a pretense. And only few of them, my brothers and sisters, who are willing to understand it. It says the enemy then, my brothers and sisters, that system out of the West, and I'll show you why. 8:24. And his power shall be, talking about the Hebrew, Western power, Hellenist power, Greco-Roman power, shall be mighty, but not by his own power. By whose power? The scripture says in Revelation, this beastly system, this Gentile system, will overrun Jerusalem and overrun the holy people. The scripture says all the world worshiped the dragon because they followed after this beast. And the dragon is Satan, the devil, my brothers and sisters, according to Daniel, according to Revelation 12 and 9, that deceived the whole world. So we need to ask ourselves a question. How much, when we look at this idea about triumph of the West, some call it Christianity, is Christianity, as people say today, true to the faith of the early church? I would say to you, absolutely not. Early church called itself Kurdishanya. They did not say Christianity. They did not call him Christ. They called him the Kurdi, the Mashiach. And in each case, my brothers and sisters, talking about one anointed over all the kings to declare, indeed, my brothers and sisters, the light the world would obscure. And the truth, my brothers and sisters, that the whole world would deny. I want you to understand what this means. Because the prophecies say that even that king, the truth of him will be obscured by the rulers. In Isaiah 41, 21 through 42, 4. How many understand, my brothers and sisters, who Messiah was saying that he is when he said, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star? Many, my brothers and sisters, know him as, well, they use that paganized term, Jesus, not his name. Some know the name Yeshua. I've heard people from many variations of that. But my brothers and sisters, how many know him as the King of the East? As Revelation 16 and 12 to 21 speaks of him. Isaiah 41, the righteous one like the rising sun that casts out the darkness, who reveals light the world is obscure. The son of righteousness that arises in Malachi 4:2, with healing upon his lips, that will liberate the children of Israel. How many know him, my brothers and sisters, as the Kurdi, which is the title they would have used? When you see sunrise in the Bible or the branch, sometimes the word there is Samach, sometimes Dinka, sometimes Anatolian, but they relate, my brothers and sisters, it's like that, a branch that springs up from the ground, a root that springs up from the ground, or like the sun in the sudden rising. So we're talking about in Revelation 7:2 about an angel rising in the sun. Angel, word from angel, is also king. Scripture says, he for whom you are waiting should suddenly come to the temple. Isaiah 66 says he's going to reprove both the temple and the city. And when the city is destroyed for having not listened. I'm talking about Isaiah 66 and 6. I'm talking about Zephaniah 3rd. Just a couple places to look. Isaiah 24 to 27 chapter. When the nations understand how all have been hoodwinked, he said the cities of the nations will fall. How many understand what that's about? It's one of those things our brothers and sisters was prophesied in advance your leaders wouldn't tell you. It's right there in the scriptures. Daniel 8 and 24, I'm going to read it from the NASB, and its power, talking about Hellenist power, Greco-Roman power, it persists to this day because people still talk about this Greco-Roman political system. And how can you have a Greco-Roman political system and a truly, as they say, Judeo-Christian religious system? Those who many know by the term Christians were murdered by Greece and Rome. And many Jews persecuted. Cain intermingled the two, they're juxtaposed. You need to understand that perhaps men haven't quite understood the nature of either one, political system, non-religious system, they presently trust. We'll draw this to a close because I said I was going to make this a little short tonight. But I want you to hear these last couple of verses. Daniel 8:24, and his power be mighty, but not by his own power. Like I said, we talked about whose power, scripture says, promoted this Greco-Roman system and its polytheism that can never be true to the will of one. Notice, the scriptures say that in order for all the world to reveal one, he must silence all these various systems. How do you think it is, my brothers and sisters, that the adversary keeps the people of Yah divided, but that he divides them under a multitude of different rulers who never uphold the fullness of the truth? Scripture says Messiah will come to do exactly that, to reveal all things again, bring unto remembrance all things spoken by all the prophets since the world began. So that wherever it is all the institutions of men have fallen short or perverted the word, they shall always be exposed as deviant, even devilish, even having caused men to swear by the holy name, but not in truth nor in righteousness, in vanity, countermanding the holy command. Messiah comes to expose all of this by proving the righteousness of all the Most High has said. But this Hellenist Greco-Roman system that we live under today, you see, his power will be mighty, but not by his own power. He will destroy with an extraordinary degree and prosper and perform his will. He will destroy mighty men and the holy people. How about corrupt them with the lies? That men don't recognize the iniquity of the system in which they presently seek to function. Never being truly delivered. You can't be delivered, my brothers and sisters, under the will of one after the vicissitudes of a fallen many. And through his shrewdness, it says in the NESB, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence. How about his devilish influence, his deceitful influence? And he will magnify himself in his heart. I said magnify himself. I did not say Yah. He will destroy many while they are at ease. How about destroy many never even realizing that they have no peace or covenant with the Most High at all? In fact, I looked at the word that is down there for what the scripture said. He will destroy many. King James Version. It said he will destroy many.
90 seconds.
And by peace, the word there is not like shalom, my brothers and sisters, the peace of Yah. It says by false security. A false sense of abundance. In other words, everything seems to be all right. He will deceive many. He will destroy many, corrupt many, deceive, divide the masses, blind the masses, to trust in the total pretense.
60 seconds.
Even oppose, the scripture says, the prince of princes, but he will be broken. Some text, I hope you understand, talking about the he-goat's power, Greco-Roman power. Present system we talk about will be broken. How about broken in pieces, Daniel 2:44? It says, Most High said to make a full end of all nations where Israel has been scattered. And I mean spiritually as well as physically. He said, without human agency, some text not by human power. How about, let's just say, my brothers and sisters, by divine power shall this present system be broken, meaning to finally discern the nature of the truth, which Yah has decreed, that men might return to Yah.
10 seconds.
Tell me, I got about 10 seconds left. Must contemplate it, my brothers and sisters, I know. I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near, to his might, to his honor, and to his praise always. Hallelujah! Discern the nature of that in which you are, my brothers and sisters, that you might discern what you must yet be.
You got the